If it bleeds, it leads. We've all heard that old saying before about the media, meaning that if a story involves a brutal death or injury of some kind, or the likelihood of that happening, it's likely to get higher ratings. This hour of the morning show, we're examining how media outlets present images of death with a researcher who has studied images of dead bodies in the press over several decades. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Jessica Fishman is a behavioral and social scientist at the Perelman School of Medicine and the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. Her new book is titled Death Makes the News, How the Media Censor and Display the Dead. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, there's sort of an industry consensus that bad news is big news, and often words aren't enough, and pictures and videos often fortify the copy, fortify the story, showing devastation and sometimes death. What's the challenge in this for the media and for editors?
Well, this book, as you mentioned, has the title Death Makes the News. And actually, that's the title that I didn't pick, that my wonderful editor picked. And I had this horribly long title that I can't even remember. And it's a really good title, I think, because it conveys two opposite goals in the news media when they're trying to cover death. So the title is Death Makes the News, and it's true that death makes the news in the sense that all day long the news media are covering death. It's every day in the headlines, and it's something that is universally regarded as the most newsworthy topic. But at the same time, as you just alluded to, the cameras are typically very focused on trying to hide the bodies. And so there's both an interest in exposing death in headlines, but also there's a lot of effort made to sanitize and censor the dead bodies.
So what is behind this effort to sanitize and censor? Is it for the interest of their audience, the interest of the viewer or the reader? Is it protecting?
It's a great question. And it's really interesting because we commonly assume that the news media are fixated with images of death. And that's commonly what we criticize them for sensationalizing these images, splashing them big across the front page, trying to grab eyeballs, trying to make money. It's considered the way that the news media make money in a very competitive media market. And even the news professionals themselves, the editors and the photojournalists, tell me in many interviews, yes, this is a problem. This is actually a crisis in the news media. We show these pictures every day. And that's also what audiences believe. Like, people in focus groups say, oh, I'm just so tired of always seeing these images of bodies. And we're constantly surrounded by these images of bodies. And it's so morbid. But what's really interesting is that my team found that consistently these bodies are not shown. And we think they're everywhere. We think we're seeing them all the time. But that's probably because of the headlines. The headlines are very bluntly focused on death, on the death tolls. And then sometimes the story copy is giving very detailed accounts.
Oh, the words are creating images in our mind, but yes, we are then translating that into an image that we think we're seeing, but we're not.
Yes, it turns out to be a media myth. And even the people who 24/7 are working in the news media believe in these myths, and they seem like us to be concerned about this crisis in the news media, that we're exposing too many bodies, that we're showing them. But actually, you might be concerned about the opposite, about what it means that we're constantly censoring these images.
So you looked at images and photojournalism over the course of decades, several decades worth. Have the decisions made about showing fatalities, showing corpses, stayed pretty consistent over the years?
Yeah, I should mention that I was very fortunate to have a big team of great people who helped me. I couldn't have done this alone, and there were meticulous researchers who looked back at 30 years of news coverage, and this is television, newspaper, online, and they helped me look closely, very closely, at whose death is covered and how it's covered. What are the words saying? What are the pictures showing? And it turns out that there are some unwritten rules that apply not just today, but have actually consistently applied for the last 30 years. So for 30 years, there has been a strong editorial force to not show images of death, to censor and sanitize what death actually looks like.
Oh, so these are unwritten rules. You can't find any type of elaborate definitions or how to handle this in perhaps the Associated Press style book.
Right. These are unwritten rules. And when I asked editors and photojournalists and others, like ombudsmen, to explain to me the rules, they actually consistently told me the opposite of what we found. That is, they said they were doing certain things, but then when we looked at 30 years of news coverage and thousands of stories contemporary today, they're actually doing the opposite of what they tell us they're doing.
And with the opposite of what they're telling you they're doing, what do you mean by that?
Well, one, there's a few myths that they believe in, that we all believe in, and it turns out that one of them, as I just mentioned, is that they think that there's that the industry is fixating on images of death, but they're not. And then a second, there's a few of them, and I'll just give you a second case, and I can give you some examples, is that they say that when there's a really large tragedy, when many people have died, that it's very important to make exceptions in those cases for a mass tragedy and to show the bodies, so that we take notice, so that we understand the severity of the matter. So it turns out, though, that that's true in some cases, but usually not true. And I say that because when there's an American mass tragedy, there's a taboo, basically, against showing any bodies. But when there's an international tragedy, when a lot of people have been killed in another country, then the American news media is willing to make exceptions and show the body and say that it's not only necessary but noble to show these bodies.
And here we are having this conversation on the fifth anniversary of the Sandy Hook shooting. How did that massacre get portrayed in Newtown, Connecticut on an elementary school? How did that, what images did we see from there?
Yeah. That's an example of a mass tragedy at Sandy Hook Elementary School where 20 first graders were killed and six educators as well. It's just terribly tragic. And on the anniversary today, the five-year anniversary, it's an interesting case of how the news media continue to cover these mass tragedies. And we found that this is a good example of how the news media are placing a taboo on images of the dead, especially dead children. They're very unlikely to show dead children, but when they do, they are always of non-Americans. And it seems unimaginable to consider showing images from Sandy Hook that are explicit, that document actual death. But what's really interesting, and we can debate about whether this is good or bad, is that the news media does show children from other countries. The U.S., I should specify, the U.S. news media does show pictures of dead children from elsewhere. For instance, I think a lot of your listeners will remember the toddler boy on the beach.
The three-year-old Syrian washed up on a Turkish beach.
Yes, and that's one example how if the child is not an American, but a non-American, we think it's very important to show those images to wake us up and make us pay attention. Whereas if there was even the suggestion of showing a picture from Sandy Hook, people would think it's unthinkable, and they call it pornography or snuff film. But the pictures of Syrian dead children have been given Pulitzer Prizes, and it's been argued that they are just essential to the news media's attempt to boldly document and lay bare the tragedy.
Jessica Fishman is with us. She is a behavioral and social scientist at the Perelman School of Medicine and the Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania. Her new book is titled Death Makes the News, How the Media Censor and Display the Dead. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of how U.S. news organizations approach their pictures and when they display death? What do you think the media should do instead, perhaps, of showing corpses of dead bodies? 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jessica, death isn't something Americans haven't seen before. I mean, you shared this U.S. Department of Justice estimate that says that by age 18, the average American has seen more than 40,000 screen deaths. So talk about how people's beliefs about how the media shows death actually translate with the violent, perhaps, entertainment industry.
It's a really interesting contrast that the news media are so committed to hiding any images that directly document death, but Americans are not squeamish at all. As you just alluded to, we are awash in images of violence that are very realistic in our fictional media. Anything from movies to video games shows that we're not squeamish at all. We consume many images that are graphically displaying what death looks like. And even when the news media have an image that's not showing blood, that might even look like a person is sleeping but is actually dead, they still consider those images generally morbid and horrible, and they won't show them.
And why is there an aversion to displaying death? What is it that is holding American publications back?
Well, I can think of this interesting story. I was walking past a school, an elementary school, and there was a young boy and girl, probably about first grade or second grade, and then there were some older kids escorting these children. They were teenagers. And there was some kind of, I think it was a squirrel, that was squished next to the sidewalk. And the first reaction of these kids was to look and to look closer, like, what is this? What happened? Wow, this is different. You don't see this much. And the older kids immediately said, you're not supposed to look at that, and pulled them away. Mm. And I understand both sides. There is a fixation with death that we all have because we all recognize that death is important. It's what makes life so precious. And it's also human nature to be curious about death, but at a certain point, we all learn that there are certain things that we should not look at. And it's really interesting that that's a general pattern that has huge exceptions if the victim is not an American.
News organizations to this day wrestle with where to draw the line in depicting death. Showing images of death, the decisions we're learning are time-consuming. Multiple editors weighing into the discussions at some news outlets. The decisions about how to depict death just don't get easier. And Jessica Fishman has studied how these images become published. She is the author of Death Makes the News, How the Media Censor and Display the Dead. She stays with us. Your questions about the portrayal of death in the media, 800-642-1234. And if you're a photojournalist, how do you approach images of fatalities? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll return in a moment. Today marks 5 years since Sandy Hook. It's been 5 years since 20 school children and 6 teachers were killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. A new school has been built. The gunman's house has been razed. And scanning through the images on Stories this morning, it's the pictures of children who are full of life that grace the articles. It's not scenes from the horrific day when 20-year-old Adam Lanza committed one of the worst attacks on children in U.S. history. As author Jessica Vishman writes, Newtown was an inconceivable image. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Our guest, Jessica Vishman's new book is Death Makes the News, How the Media Censor and Display the Dead. She's a behavioral and social scientist at the University of Pennsylvania. You can join this conversation, 800-642-1234. American news organizations do an adequate job when it comes to how they display death? If not, what do you think the media should be doing instead? Join in or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Frank, who joins us from Spring Brook. Hi, Frank.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you know, my comment, I was listening to the lady talking about the difference in how images from overseas are portrayed versus locally. And I'm a reporter up here in northern Wisconsin. And a couple of years ago, I took a photo of an accident scene. I was up on a rise about 30 yards away from the scene. And I took a photo, and we put it on our website. And you could barely see somebody lying on the road. And we got a lot of negative reactions because of that image. You know, you couldn't see any details, but in our newspaper staff, we had a discussion about this, you know, and it seemed to me a little absurd that, you know, in our history books, we have images of a 12-year-old Vietnamese girl naked running down the road with napalm in the background, and that's perfectly fine, but we can't show a distant photo of somebody injured on the road. I mean, the sensibilities just don't make sense.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for calling in with that. Jessica, go ahead.
Yeah, he's exactly right that we have very different expectations for what the news should accomplish depending on who has died. If there is an American who's died, we are very unlikely to think it's important to look at it and bear witness and have the document in the news. But when non-Americans die, we expect the American news media to be our eyes and ears, not just writing about it, but showing us exactly what happened. And so when it's an American death, we can get upset if they even hint at death with a picture that Frank just described, because you can't see much. It's a body way in the distance. You might not even know it's there if not for the caption, but we can still get pretty upset because there is this taboo for showing American bodies.
When you interviewed various people in the press, did you get the sense that there's a unified message behind why news organizations censor some things and show others?
They're not aware of these patterns. These people work very hard and they're very passionate about their jobs, and I should stress that they're well-intentioned, and they're not even aware of these striking patterns. And in fact, when I ask them to explain the rules, they say the opposite. So, like Frank alluded to, there are photojournalists who will actually be risking their lives because their editors send them to the front lines thinking that it's important to show some crisis as it is breaking out. But then when you follow around with a photojournalist, I can share one story of someone who was sent immediately to the dock to capture a suicide. There was a young man with a gun sitting on the edge of the dock. And the editor's reaction was, we got to get the photojournalist there to capture this death. That's what's newsworthy. And the photojournalist sat on the dock for hours until the suicide was committed and got it on film. Nobody could stop the suicide because of the circumstances. And so the news was there to try and document it. And when he brought his picture back, the editor was like, no way, we can't use that. We can't show something that bluntly. And so there's this great contradiction even in their daily work process where they're spending all this time covering something that they're not actually able to show.
So they're sent on assignment, and yet they can't use what they bring back.
Yes, and so they photojournalists will tell you that they have to sit around for many more hours until the bodies are bagged up, and then if those are euphemistic enough images, they will make the cut.
Well, Mark from Spooner emailed, and Mark said, most photos of death are selectively displayed in that we are allowed to see photos of politically correct deaths, but not correct images are, but non-correct images are filtered out. The example, Mark says, we never see deaths related to conflict minerals in the Congo where millions of innocent people have died, so we have cell phones in our pockets, but we do see images from conflicts we are involved in and want public support for our side. It's politics making its way into images.
Yeah, I can tell you that our team did find similar evidence. Looking back at 30 years of news coverage, there's been a lot of concern from audience members and people inside the news media that we tend to exploit those bodies that have darker skin and that we're more likely to give privacy to those bodies with light skin. And the interesting thing is that that was another myth. It turns out that actually almost all the pictures of dead bodies are of very light-skinned people, and I think that's because we are generally willing to ignore a lot of deaths in some countries that have predominantly darker-skinned people. So they're not even getting covered in any way. They're not getting headlines and stories, so they're not going to have a chance to get pictures either. There's going to be very little attention paid in general.
In December of 2016, a year ago, news organizations like the LA Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times ran photos on their websites of the slain Russian ambassador to Turkey. What did this decision illustrate to you about the industry?
Well, that's a good example. When the slain Russian ambassador was shown, it's a lighter-skinned person who's shown dead, and you can... It's quite up-close image, and it's obviously dead. The gunman is still in the picture with one finger up in the air and one hand up in the air pointing to the sky, and then another hand holds the gun. And it is very representative of this pattern that if it's a non-American, like this case, the news media is willing to explicitly document the death and show the evidence. And it wouldn't be the case if that was an American body. And it turns out that these rules are so strong that it's quite easy to predict who's going to be covered in the news when they die and how they will be covered.
Let's go to Dan, who joins us from Franksville. Hi, Dan.
Howdy. Yeah, I don't think the mainstream media was around as brokers because of the violence they show in their movies. And young people are going to see it. They know that. And it might as well be real, the chopping, stomachs flying apart, and all that stuff like that. So I don't think they're really honest brokers. But as far as the death and stuff like the Daniel Pearl beheading, I watched that because I wanted that to have an effect on me on what goes on with warfare when they killed them contractors that hung them on the bridge. I remember they burned out a city. They actually dropped napalm on it. They call it white phosphorus. But I watched all that stuff, too, where they have, like, real videos of the animals and stuff and people that were left in the city that got bombed up at
Dan,
the U.S. military. But, yeah,
Dan, thank you so much for those examples. And I want to go back to Daniel Pearl that Dan mentioned here. And he said he made himself watch that beheading so it would have an impact on him. Can you elaborate, Jessica?
Yeah, it's interesting because that's exactly the reasons that editors say we need to look at the deaths that they decide to show. And in general, that means the non-Americans who have died. So they say it's very important that we bear witness because the words themselves won't grab our attention and help us to realize the actual tragic extent of this event. And they say the exact opposite for images when an American is shown dead. They'll say there's no information there, it doesn't help anything, it can only hurt people, which also raises the interesting question of whether people are hurt or helped by these pictures. And a lot of people assume that we can't show American dead bodies because the family members will be so hurt. But there's a whole chapter in the book that shows a lot of people, a lot of family members actually want visibility for their victims, and it's not so clear.
Well, Dan, thank you for calling in. Let's go to Randy, who joins us from Ripon. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. I think your last caller kind of touched upon my observation of you walk through any video store and every other film is just hack them up, shoot them, you know, blood and guts. And, you know, there seems to be such a disconnect. I remember, I mean, I was pretty young, but when the images came out of Vietnam War, like in Look and Life magazine and some of the horrific, I think that had an effect on the public's, you know, view of that war, whereas now, you know, there was no images of these children, Sandy Hook or the recent Las Vegas. I mean, it seems like everything's homogenized, and I wonder if people actually witness this, if there'd be a greater push for gun control. You know, I just wonder, I ponder that anyways. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. Is death homogenized? Jessica.
Well, he made a really interesting point about gun control, and some people who have read this book have argued that it's really good evidence that maybe we would treat the American crisis with guns differently if we had to face the death and see the actual consequences of what guns are doing. And he's right that Las Vegas coverage or the Texas mass shooting recently, we didn't see those images. We didn't actually have documentation of the death. And images are a different way of knowing. They do provide information that words can't. And psychologists will tell you that we pay much more attention to images than we do words, and we also remember them better. They have a deeply emotional impact on us, too. So I do understand his argument.
Well, thanks so much for calling. And let's go to Isaiah in Hartford. Hi, Isaiah.
Hi. I have a question about victims' rights bills and laws. I know, as an attorney, I know that there are in different states victims' bills of rights, and there are some things that give protections to victims, including family members of deceased who are then classified as the victims, particularly with minors. So does that come into play when you are allowed to show certain deaths, say, of someone in a foreign country who's not protected by these laws versus, say, a minor at Sandy Hook who would be covered by these?
I haven't seen any cases where the laws are part of the decision-making, actually. And they're decisions that are made much prior to that about just some basic cultural phenomenon and some very personal, strong beliefs that are influencing what we consider to be newsworthy and what we consider not to be newsworthy. I've never seen cases where the law is debated.
Well, Isaiah, thank you so much for bringing in that question. Jessica, has there been a difference in how the U.S. media has been depicting mass shootings in recent times here?
If it's a domestic mass shooting, there have not been differences. Over 30 years, we continue to completely censor those images. And the same is true even in places like tabloids that have the reputation of being extremely sensationalistic. They are actually more likely to hide the bodies and not show them than the New York Times, the Washington Post, and other elite news media. So that's another myth that is talked about in Death Makes the News.
Yeah, and you talked about this patrician press when it comes to depictions of death versus tabloids. What is, first of all, the patrician press?
The patrician press, or the elite press, is a term I use to describe the most established and prestigious news media, like the New York Times, who win all these Pulitzer Prizes and are considered to be very restrained and with good judgment. And it's interesting that tabloids as a contrast, which are criticized for being indulgent with their tasteless, graphic, and gruesome images, are actually much less likely to show those images than the New York Times.
And when you think of tabloids, I think of what I see when I'm checking out at the newspaper or at the grocery store checkout line. Is that considered a tabloid, like the National Enquirer?
Yeah, in the book, In Death Makes the News, we look at both types of tabloids, the ones that are very interested in things like aliens and celebrities, and there you see absolutely no pictures of bodies. But we also look at the New York Post, which is not focused on celestial activity, but just normal, normal everyday activity on Earth, and it holds true for both types of tabloids.
Do these publications care as much as they did in the past about getting the shot, about getting these images, gathering them in, regardless of whether they use them or not?
There is a whole industry devoted to gathering these images, and they're very rarely used. For example, the news wires, like the Associated Press and Reuters, they have a lot of resources spent creating these pictures and providing these pictures to news outlets around the country and around the world, and they know that very often they're not going to be selected if they show the dead body, but they argue that it's still their news duty to provide the documentation, to provide the evidence, and if editors decide not to include it, that's fine, but they should at least have the document.
Author Jessica Fishman has picked up on patterns as she's studied how the news media portray the dead. The tabloid press, she says, is less likely to show a dead body. Media show dead bodies that are outside of America more often than they show dead American bodies. The new book is Death Makes the News. Jessica Fishman stays with us. She is a behavioral and social scientist at the University of Pennsylvania. Your thoughts on the images you see published by media outlets. Join in 800-642-1234. You can also post your thoughts on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue our conversation about how the media censors and displays the dead in just a moment. Stay with us. Author Jessica Fishman tapped into editors and photojournalists about the decisions made around images of death in her new book, Death Makes the News. We're exploring the themes that have come out of it as she looked at published images by news outlets over the decades. One thread is that in news coverage of major international tragedies, a corpse is shown because it's considered part of the effort to get across the magnitude of loss. Think of that image of the 3-year-old Syrian boy found dead on a Turkish beach. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. What strikes you in how the news media approach death? Do you think it's appropriate or not? 800-642-1234. Let's go to Brittany, who joins us from Superior. Hi, Brittany.
Hello, Ms. Fishman. I was just calling in because we had talked about how very seldom American bodies are shown, but I feel like during 9/11, when they were pulling bodies out, they had shown dead bodies. Do you think that was politically motivated and that justified at the time showing dead Americans?
Brittany, thanks for that question. During 9/11 coverage, there was the impression that we did see bodies. They were extremely unlikely to be shown, even though we had the feeling that they were shown. And in part, that's because the stories were giving so much detail about pulling bodies out, but they were using words. And there was a case where even images of the people still alive but about to die for example, those people who are jumping from the buildings, those images are ones that we remember a lot, but they were actually used very briefly because people were upset about showing those images, and they were quickly taken out of the news. So there are some times when the news media will accidentally show American deaths, but they try and quickly take them out of circulation, and they apologize greatly for making a mistake, what they consider a mistake, which is interesting because when the non-Americans are shown to us, they argue that it's really important that we see this evidence.
And where is the pressure coming from to take these images and these videos out of circulation? Where is that pressure?
Well, a lot of it is self-censorship. The editors and the photojournalists themselves say, it's just not newsworthy. And they will tell me there's no information in these pictures. So they say it's the opposite of the news, that it's not conveying any facts, which is completely contrary to what they say when they describe the importance of showing the little boy, the little Syrian boy dead on the sand. They say this is providing the essential facts, the testimony that can't be ignored. And they'll also talk about how, for example, pictures from Auschwitz, wouldn't you want those shown if you could have shown those pictures? And there's other rhetorical questions that they use to underline the importance of bearing witness when the deaths are not American.
Oh, so they're asking the question, how is this body advancing the story?
Yeah, and they, if it's a non-American, they feel that it's providing a lot of useful information, and that it's making the facts explicit, and that it's going to help change things in a positive direction, help save lives, change policy. But they don't have any of those beliefs about pictures that show the American bodies.
Brittany, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Mark, who is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning. And I'd just like to ask the author if in her research, if she differentiates between the case of a mass murderer, because one view might be that a mass murderer would like those trophies to be on display, that this would be a motivating factor to up the body count, and that these things become trophies for someone who commits that kind of a heinous crime.
Yeah, I don't study the psychology of the killers themselves, and I know that there is a debate about how much attention to give them and exactly how to cover, just like there is a debate about how to cover suicide in a way that doesn't glorify it and generate copycat suicides.
Well, Mark, thank you for calling in. What about online news sources? Are online publications more willing to publish these graphic images of death?
When you compare more traditional news media to the newer digital media, the same patterns are there. Mm. And we have all these images available on the internet. They're just not making it into the news media, which we can debate is good or bad, but there are some interesting patterns that expose some contradictions in when we consider these images newsworthy.
Do you see at all any diversions in recent times where that you think that this might be changing at all?
I don't see evidence of change. It's that these taboos seem to be amazingly persistent.
Hmm. Let's go to Bruce, who's in Eau Claire. Hi, Bruce.
Hi. I had a distant family member that was shown in the news before, John Dillinger, and also I remember the gangsters and stuff back at that time. They were displayed on the newspapers and stuff. What has changed since then?
Oh, so you're going back to the Al Capone days. Is that right, Bruce?
Yes, ma'am.
And you have a distant relative who was displayed in these images?
Yeah, John Dillinger.
Yeah. And what can you tell us exactly what was the image? What did it look like?
It was a picture of him laying on the ground by the by the movie theater where he was shot.
Jessica, go ahead.
So I was interested in having the team help me understand, in the rare case when Americans are shown dead, who is most likely to be shown, if we can learn anything about those generalizable characteristics of those exceptions. And one thing that I was interested in learning is if it's a particularly polarizing person, if it's, for example, a criminal, are they more likely to be shown? And the trend that we documented is that the more unusual the death, the more likely it's to be shown. The rare examples of the American body shown are for someone who was, for example, killed by an exploding ice machine, or walking across the street and fell and ran over by a bus. So it's these unusual stories that make the exceptions and allow some images of the American death.
Bruce, thanks for calling in. Let's go next to Valerie in Spring Green. Hi, Valerie.
Hi. I just kind of have, I guess it's a question slash comment, but do you think it's dehumanizing foreign people to show them dead compared to, like, showing an American dead? Because we don't see a dead American, but we see dead foreign people. So then it kind of desensitizes us to that. So that almost creates more of that divide that we have going on in our country. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. There are some reviews of this book that make exactly that argument, which is also explored in this book, because there is serious concern that how does it affect us that we are treating American deaths so differently from the deaths of non-Americans? They might be just a few miles from us, but they get treated very differently in the news media. And how does that affect the way we think of ourselves? It's almost as if we avoid these images of the Americans to protect our self-image, our national self-image, there's this compulsion, as photojournalists tell me and editors tell me, to show positive pictures when they're covering American death. They want to show strength, the American strength and American resilience. But when we pivot to cover tragedies in another country, we say there's a lot of terror and a lot of horrible things that we have to confront about their lives. And so that we're telling very different stories about Americans than we are telling about non-Americans.
Valerie, thank you so much for calling in. Jessica, what guidance, what advice would you give to media outlets, to newsrooms, in how they handle these images?
I think because the news media are so important, because they're so powerful, that we all agree that there should be more transparency, and we should know how they're making decisions, and they should know how they're making decisions, because actually they are believing in a lot of the same myths that we believe when we say news does exploit death. Actually, in many ways, it doesn't. News bears witness. Well, in many cases, it doesn't. So if we can all be aware of the decisions that are made, and that brings more transparency to decisions, I think we'll have a very useful conversation about what should be shown and why.
How do these decisions about these images and videos, how does it shape our culture?
Yeah, as the last caller was alluding, I think one of the important ways that it shapes our culture is that we create very different narratives about Americans than non-Americans. And that might have some worrying consequences for humanitarian efforts, and it's worth talking about how, for example, when Americans die, we'll see the pictures of them long before their death, when they were alive and well, and we'll even have a lot of coverage that describes their personality, their likes, their dislikes, their hobbies, and really personalizes these people and humanizes them. but as the last caller was alluding to, we don't bring any of that personalization to the non-Americans who die. We don't know either of the victims, but we give a great individualizing attention in one case when it's the Americans who die.
And I was just reading the story this morning on how Sandy Hook was taking each individual victim and very much filling out in Sandy Hook each of these children and their image and what they love to do and just giving a full portrait of them. So we can see that happening. But I'm wondering, too, is there an access issue here when we're covering other countries? Are reporters having the same resources to get the images that they need in order to tell a story?
Yeah, in the book Death Makes the News, there's a chapter discussing maybe these images of death aren't shown because they're just hard to come by. Maybe they're not accessible. And it's pretty clear that they're actually very accessible and that the editors are making a careful decision to hide them.
What do you hope people take away from this conversation and your work?
Well, I think because the news media is such a powerful industry that we've believed in certain myths, and I think it's time that we recognize the reality so that we can inform our next debate.
Are you continuing to research this, or is this a closed book for you and going on to something else?
I'd be interesting to see if there's eventually some change because things have been so stable. There's been such a strong, persistent force that over 30 years of the news coverage that we studied, the exact same patterns continue despite all the changes in technology with cell phones, for example, that people can take pictures everywhere and the internet that then spreads those pictures everywhere. Things have remained remarkably stable.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Jessica Fishman is a behavioral and social scientist at the Perelman School of Medicine and the Annenberg School for Communication. That's at the University of Pennsylvania. She is the author of the new book, it just came out, Death Makes the News, How the Media Censor and Display the Dead. Coming up tomorrow at this time, we'll look at the special election results in Alabama and the tax debate. We'll also be digging into the latest news on the State Department of Justice's leak report. That's all coming up tomorrow at this time during Week in Review. This hour of the morning show was produced by Brianne Chasso and Chris Molina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer and provided technical direction this morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network. We can continue this conversation about Death Makes the News and the images of death over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Thanks so much for listening.